Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I love to preach, and I'm in the middle of four series, one here on Wednesday nights, one on Sundays at 11, one on Saturday nights at 6, and one on Monday nights with our men. One of them ends tonight. I've really enjoyed this Road Rules series. It's helped me to be more cognizant of the Holy Spirit. Not as a pastor, because it is important as a pastor, but as a man, that I need to be continually directing my focus on what does the Spirit say? Because the Spirit knows all. And if I'll tap into the Spirit, I can know all. And that means I avoid the pitfalls, I avoid wrong directions, I avoid making wrong turns, I save a lot of time. And so this has been a pleasure preaching this. And we're going to end on a high note tonight, talking about a couple of these signs behind me, and I believe it's going to help somebody. John chapter 16, verse 13, while you're turning there, a man walked into heaven and God said, you're about to get your wings. The man replied, lemon pepper or barbecue? God said, get out. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, somebody say the Spirit of truth, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. There it is, knowing everything that you want to know. Doesn't mean you automatically just, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, man, I know everything now. It means that the warehouse of God is open up. It means now I have it at my fingertips. It's there if I want it. You just realize when you walk into a library, there are literally 10,000 of years of what people have gone through, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and it's all right there. And all we've got to do is check out that book, open it, and begin to read, and we can start learning something. And so he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak, and he will show you things to come. Things that are in front of us, things that are ahead of us, not behind us, but he'll show us what we need to do from here forward. Can I just encourage somebody tonight? I know that your past has been bothering you, but it's over. As we celebrated tonight, it's under the blood. If you've accepted Christ and you've asked for forgiveness, it's under the blood. So none of that matters. It's full steam ahead from here forward. Amen. I've been telling this to the young people that God does not talk to your past and interview your past about what he's going to do for your future. God already knows what you've done, and it's under the blood if you'll allow it to be so that we can move forward. Amen? Let's be seated tonight. Road Rules, part four. Life is a journey. It is a road, and we are either on the wrong road, on the right road, going the wrong way, on the right road, broke down, or on the right road, headed the right way, with the right people, reading and following every road sign. The latter is where God wants us to be. He wants us to be on that narrow road that leads to life. Understand, and we've talked about this, that when we get on that narrow road, that there's not going to be a lot of traffic. I love driving to church on Sunday mornings. But why I love driving to church on Sunday mornings is actually a very sad commentary on the Western world. Because I like driving because no one's on the freeway. Now, if I were to drive tomorrow morning down Pat Booker Road towards the church, there is going to be a few hundred cars trying to get onto Randolph Air Force Base. There's going to be a few hundred cars trying to get through this mess that they got at 1604 and Pat Booker Road. It literally took me the other day an hour and 10 minutes to make a 25-minute drive because the road was so congested. Last Sunday, I drove at 6:30 in the morning down Pat Booker Road, and I got down the entire stretch of road and passed two cars. And I made my drive in 19 minutes when it's supposed to take 25. I understand that on this road of life that there is not a lot of traffic, and I'm okay with that for me. But what I'm not okay with is that the reason there is not a lot of traffic is because people don't have a lot of faith that there is going to be an eternity, that eternity is forever, and ever and ever and ever, that they will live somewhere forever, either in heaven or in hell, with Christ or void of Christ. And hell, listen, you can talk about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. We can talk about how hot it is. The worst part of hell is none of those things. The worst part of hell is that Jesus is not there. It's the only place that he's not. Because even with the craziness in this world, I can lay down and rest assured that God is still on this earth. That he's still in control of the destiny of believers that put their faith in him. And so I'm okay that the road is empty, but I'm not okay with why it's empty. It makes it easier for me, but I would rather that road be, I'm talking about congested, headed towards heaven and headed towards where God has called us to be. And so God's plan is that we're on the right road, that we're headed the right way with the right people, and that we're navigating life, reading the stop signs and the do not enters and the yield signs, and we are not having to stop and wait for direction, but we are simultaneously, hear what I'm saying, church, we are simultaneously hearing what the Holy Spirit says, and we are making movements without having to stop all the time. And I think that a lot of believers waste a lot of time because we're constantly pulling in into the gas station or pulling off to the side of the road to ask for directions when God never told us to stop. And he said that there is a way that you can navigate through life and you can hear from the Holy Spirit and do what the Holy Spirit is saying simultaneously. And that's where I as a believer, that's where you as a believer, that's where we should strive to get to is, all right, God, I'm leaving my house and I'm hearing from you and I'm doing what you've called me to do, or I'm hearing direction and I'm simultaneously doing that direction at the same time, which means that we save time, which means that we are no longer delayed, we are no longer late, we are no longer frustrated because we've been sitting in traffic when God could have taken us around the traffic. And so my goal for you tonight as we finish this series is to lock our senses into the Holy Ghost. That when the Holy Ghost says something, we listen. When the Holy Ghost shows us something, we see it. Or when the Holy Ghost gives us a feeling, we would call it a gut feeling. Mothers would call it a mother's intuition. No, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost saying, stop. It's the Holy Ghost saying, all right, go, yield to what is happening. On this road called life, we've been given a roadmap, God's word, and a guide, the Holy Spirit. Whether or not we listen to God's word and the Holy Spirit determines if we will make it to our destination, how long it will take us to get there, and how much loss or pain we will have to endure on the road that we're on. Can I encourage you that when you listen to the Holy Ghost, it's going to save you time. It's going to expedite the process. It's not going to take 40 years in the wilderness. It's going to take the 8 days it was supposed to take. You're not going to go through the pain. You're not going to go through the loss that other people have endured on that road. Why? Because I'm listening to when the Holy Ghost says stop. When the Holy Ghost says go this way, take a right, and we're going to go around all this mess. I'm listening to it, therefore, I'm not going. Have you ever watched somebody's life that was a train wreck? And you just thought, the decisions that you're making, you keep making the same bad decision. I watch a lot of Judge Judy. Judge Judy said, how many kids do you have? Six. And then somebody pops in, that he knows of. How many mothers do those six have? Three. So he made the mistake six times to sleep with someone he's not married to. Come on now. Not only did it not work with mom number one, he duplicated mom number two, duplicated mom number three, and now at least four, if not all of these kids are now living without a dad in the house. And maybe that's a blessing, because if the dad's making those kind of decisions, maybe it's best that he's not in the house. And so we duplicate over and over, and we see these people making these wrong decisions, and we say, what's wrong with them? When the Holy Ghost says that about many of us every day. Brandon, how long are you going to wait? Brandon, how many times are you going to stop when I never said stop? How many times are you going to go when I told you to stop? How many times are you going to keep making these same mistakes and make these decisions, and listen to what I'm saying, that slow down the process in what God is trying to do? Last week we talked about the two signs, stop and yield. It basically comes down to this. The Holy Ghost always has three directives. Number one, stop. Number two, go. Number three, slow. Most of us are good at stopping and we're good at going, but we're not good at the slow. We're not good at when God says, pump the brakes, you're going too fast. We talked about a lot of people stop when they're supposed to yield and yield when they're supposed to stop. We roll through the stop signs of life at a four-way stop. We just California roll through them. And then when it's time to yield to get on the interstate, we stop until the perfect moment. Let me tell you something. Faith does not require a perfect moment. Faith makes a perfect moment. Faith does not wait on everything to be perfect for me to step out and make this grand step of faith. Faith says, even when I can't see the staircase, come on now, I'm going to take that step anyway. Even when things aren't perfect, I'm going to listen to the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost says go, whether it looks like I should go or not, I'm going to go. And other times when the Holy Ghost says stop, what do you mean stop? It looks like there's perfect conditions ahead. The Holy Ghost knows what's ahead, and so it tells us stop. And it tells us go. Now let's get to tonight. Number three, I love this sign here. Fresh oil. Now when I was in high school, my high school was on a dirt road. And that dirt road was not maintained very well. And so about once, probably every 2 years, they would grade that road and they would put fresh oil on that road. And then they would put that sign up. Now, I know that the road now had fresh oil on it, and I know that they put that up because they wanted you to be careful because oil does what? It makes things slippery. But what I didn't know was is not only do I have to pay careful attention to what's around me and stopping and braking, but now when I drive on that fresh oil, if I drive too fast, it kicks all that oil up. My first truck was a 1990 extended cab F-154 pickup truck. Red with a white stripe down the side of it. And when I got out of school that day, because I'd been going about 50 or 60 on the newly fresh oiled road, I got out and I no longer had a red and white truck. I had a black truck. I was running late to school, which was my MO at the time. And so I just parked it and I went inside and I said, I'll take care of it later. But little did I know was that Texas sun was going to bake that oil on my truck and that I was covered in something that was hard for me to get off. And I literally had to go to AutoZone or O'Reilly's and buy something to get it off because once it was on, I couldn't get it off. Now, can I just tell you that when you see the fresh oil sign, the Holy Ghost is telling you you're getting ready to go into something that you're not prepared for, and I need to get a fresh dose of oil on you. Because you're getting ready to go some places. I'm getting ready to call you to do something great. You're getting ready to go through some dark spots, some dry spots, some valley spots. But if you've got enough fresh oil on you, what I put on you is not going to be able to be rubbed off of you. And so when the Holy Ghost says fresh oil, it says two things. I'm going to pull over and stop right this second, and I'm going to get a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost and of the oil. And then it tells me, Brandon, you better buckle up because the ride might get a little bumpy, but if God called me to stop and get some fresh oil before he takes me to my next, he's saying, Brandon, I've already made a way for you to get through. I just need you to stop and allow me to put a fresh dose of oil on you. How many of you have ever had your check engine light come on? How many of you have ignored it for a few weeks? One of the brothers of the church told me, this was years ago, that his wife literally took a black piece of electrical tape and just put it on the dash. And when the car finally broke down and the mechanic saw the tape and the husband went to his wife, she said, I just got so annoyed looking at that light that I just wanted to cover it up. And that's a lot of us just want to cover it up instead of fix it. But the Holy Ghost, I hate. One of my pet peeves is to have to go get my oil changed. I hate it. And so I will drive past the sticker in my left windshield. I will drive until my truck tells me it's time to get an oil change. Amen. Thank you for that. You got the same truck I do, Brother Vail. I hate to do it because it takes time. But let me tell you what takes more time, when your engine seizes up because it has no oil. And there's a lot of our lives that have seized up on us because we will not do what it takes to get fresh oil. You know, there's some people here today that are kicked back in their recliner right now. When God told them at 5:30, Holy Ghost said, hey, you need to get to Living Way because I'm going to give you some fresh oil. I'm going to get you ready for your Thursday. I'm going to get you ready for your October. But they kept driving. They just put a piece of black electrical tape over and said, well, I'll get it on Sunday. But let me tell you something. What you get on Sunday is not going to help you Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the Holy Ghost knows I'm getting ready to take you through something so I can take you to something, and I need you to stop and get some fresh oil so that you don't seize up. And so that it, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill up your horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. Fast forward, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Now listen, we're not talking about the oil like we've got where it was just one squirt and we're going to pray for 100 people with one squirt of oil. We're talking about a horn, a ram's horn of oil, that it wasn't a drop and a cross on his forehead. He literally broke it open and poured every drop of oil out to where it started at David's head and begin to flow down over the rest of his body. Can I tell you that God doesn't want to bless part of you? He wants to bless all of you. He wants to anoint all of you because he's taking all of you to a destination and a next, and being sprinkled and having a little bit is not enough. God said, you need to get in line with what I'm doing. And when I tell you that it's time for fresh oil, I'm going to submerge you in what is going to take you to your next level. That's why when I start talking about the Holy Ghost and anointing, I want to get to where the anointing is being given, because I don't want to live this life outside of the covering of the anointing of God. Without the anointing, Goliath would have never fallen. Without the anointing, David would have never become king. There are some things that God is wanting to do through you and some places God is wanting to take you, but you're going to have to stop long enough and say, God, apply your fresh oil to me today so that I'm ready for my next and I'm ready for what I'm going to have to fight. Somebody say fresh oil. James 5:14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church to pray and anoint him. If you're sick, you need fresh oil. And you don't need a pastor to anoint you. Anoint yourself. I'm talking about go and get some olive oil, and if you can't get any olive oil, get some peanut oil. And if you can't get any peanut oil, get a stick of margarine and melt it down. It's not about what it is. It's about the significance and the symbolism that I'm not walking by myself. I'm not driving by myself. I'm not going through this valley alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why don't I fear evil? Because I've got a fresh anointing. I've got a fresh oil on my life. And when the Holy Ghost says it's time for a double dose, I'm going to get me a double dose. Man. Exodus 29:7. Then shall you take the anointing oil and pour it over his head and anoint him. This was talking about Aaron and his sons to perform the duties of the priest. You need fresh oil. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself. This was God's directive to Ruth. Anoint yourself. But I don't have a connection to the pastor. Anoint yourself. I'm going through hell on a day other than Wednesday and Sunday. Anoint yourself. I've got a big job interview on Friday and I can't get to the house. Anoint yourself. But I'm a new member at Living Way. I've only been here a couple months. Anoint yourself. I'm the first one in my family that's ever been saved. I really don't know all the ins and the outs. Anoint yourself. I've been married 3 times and I've got a past. Anoint yourself. I don't have enough money. Anoint yourself. Wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put on your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. This, your future relationships depend on fresh oil. You got to get so much oil on you that the slimy guys can't stick around. You got to get so anointed that the wrong job can't stick around. You got to get so anointed that the right people in your life are drawn to you and the wrong people in your life are repelled away from you. One of the reasons why Saul could not stand David and tried to kill him is Saul said, he's got the anointing that I used to have and I'm not under the fresh oil anymore, but I've been close enough to David when he's playing that harp. I can smell the oil of the Lord on him. The enemy might not know you, but it knows the God that you serve. The enemy might not know you, but it can smell the oil all over you. Your relationships depend on fresh oil. If the oil's dried off, you need another dose. It needs to be wet. It needs to be recent. It needs to be, when was the last time that you shed a tear for God? When was the last time that you got down on your knees to pray and it wasn't a two-minute prayer? It was, God, I'm going to cling to you for everything that is within me because the oil has dried on me and I need some fresh oil in my life. My relationships aren't working. And God said, if you'll let me put the oil on you that I want to put on you, your future, you'll find your Boaz Ruth. He's attracted to the oil, not to you. I know that you've seen Boaz before and Boaz has seen you. You might have even been to a couple parties at Boaz's house and he never paid you no attention. It's because you have not been covered with the oil. So wash yourself, put on a fresh oil and anoint yourself, put on your best clothes and go to the threshing floor. I know it's not Christian mingle. I know that it's not a dance. It's not a club. But on the threshing floor, he's going to see somebody that has a fresh dose of oil. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news. If you're going to preach, you need oil, fresh oil. We're not talking about pastors. We're talking about believers. If you are going to share the good news, you need to be anointed. You need to have fresh oil. Fresh oil brings fresh revelation. Fresh revelation brings fresh manifestation. If you want God to do a new thing, you're going to have to hear a new word, and you get a new word and a new move by getting new oil. Somebody say fresh oil. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and have hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Your gladness depends on fresh oil. Have you been mad too long? Have you been frustrated too long? Have you been angry too long? Could it be that you've been running your mouth and you've been cussing and you've been murmuring and the Holy Spirit's been trying to get in a word edgewise and saying, hey, Brandon, you need to get back over to the spout where the oil comes out. You need a fresh oil. You need to pull through the Jiffy Lube. You need to pull through and let the Holy Ghost put on you something that is going to bring your gladness back. You've been mad too long. You've been kicking the dirt too long. You've been slamming doors and punching holes through drywall too long. You got to get glad, and you can get glad the same way you got mad, which is real quick, but you're going to have to find somewhere where the fresh oil is dispensed. Somebody say fresh oil. Psalm 45:7, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. Your joy depends on fresh oil. If you are going to have joy, and I love joy, joy is so much better than happiness. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, which means joy comes from God. Happiness is derived from happenings, which means if my happenings aren't right, I cannot be happy. But even when my happenings around me aren't right, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I can be in the middle of everything not working, and I still got a smile on my face. I still got a praise in my heart. I still got worship coming out of my lips. Why? Because I received the joy from the fresh oil that God put on me on a Sunday, a Wednesday, a Monday, a Thursday. Luke 10:34, talking about the good Samaritan, came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He anointed him. Your comeback depends on fresh oil. I know you got beat up. I know people did you wrong. I know 2019 has not been the year that we thought it was going to be and that you declared for your life, your marriage, your family, but I am here to tell you your comeback and everything that God has spoken over you all depends on how fresh the oil of the Lord is in and on your life. Your comeback depends on fresh oil. Leviticus 8:12, he poured out some anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Your consecration depends on fresh oil. Being consecrated for purpose, being separated for destiny, for what God has for you, it depends on having fresh oil. Oh, I love this one. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Your enemy sitting down at your table depends on fresh oil. What keeps your enemies from fighting you at your table is because you're covered with oil and they notice there's something different about this person than the last. When I did them wrong, I wanted to kill them. I wanted to come at them with everything I have. But now that I'm sitting here across from them and they've got this great table and God has blessed them, there's something about them that even if I wanted to, I know I can't touch them. Even though I wanted to, I know I can't get revenge on them. Let me tell you something. Your enemies coming to your table, the only way that it works is if you have fresh oil in your life. Goes on to say, you've anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Your overflow depends on fresh oil. To get something you've never had before, you must do something you've never done before. You must receive something you've never had before. Some of us just keep duplicating and replicating the same things over and over in our lives. And some of it is good, some of it is bad. But I'm here to tell you again, God is going to do a new thing in your life. But a new thing has to have fresh oil. And just like my truck, God wants to do it in such a way that even when the enemy tries to get the oil off, he can't get the oil off because it's baked on. Come on, when I go through the fire of God, it bakes that oil onto my life and I cannot be stopped. I cannot be touched. Give me just a couple more minutes here. Number four sign, the detour sign. I hate it when I'm driving. Costs me a lot of time, but there's a lot of misconceptions about detours. I'm going to help somebody tonight here in the last 2 minutes. A detour in your life doesn't mean you've done something wrong. And I think we need to understand that. Because the devil loves to tell us that we're detouring because of something we've done wrong. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with what we've done. A detour in our life doesn't mean that you are out of the perfect will of God. We love to preach the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And so a lot of us would say anytime that we see the detour, we have gotten out of the perfect will of God. And now we're into the permissive will of God, which is the will that kicks in when we make a mistake. I've got good news for everybody and bad news for some. There is no such thing as somebody in the perfect will of God because we're imperfect people. To be in the perfect will of God means that you've had to make the right decision 100% of the time. Hanging out with the right people, working the same job, praying the right prayers, having the right faith, all of those things. So if we're believing perfect over permissive, all of us are in the permissive. I'm going to tell you what, the older I get, the more I thank God for detours. Because it doesn't mean I've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that I'm out of the perfect will of God. Luke 18, verse 1 says this, and Jesus spake a parable unto this man, and he said, men ought to always pray and not to faint. Meaning when you don't get to your destination when you think you should, don't think that it's not coming and don't think that you'll never get there. You just might be on a detour. Not the scenic route, a detour. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it will surely come, it will not tarry. I thought I was going to do this, but God's got me taking two rights, one left. I'm going way out of my way, it seems like. But if God said it was going to happen, you can put it on the calendar. It is going to happen. As the old folks used to say, he may not come when I want him to, but he's always on time. Even if I have to detour, Romans 8:28 is a verse about detours. And we know that all things work together for the good of to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Check this out, church. Sometimes a detour is to keep you from being a casualty of someone else's crash. Sometimes a detour is so that you're not a casualty of someone else's crash. Have you ever had somebody walk out of your life and you prayed that God would bring them back? And you ask God why they would leave you only for 6 months down the road for their life to explode or implode in such a way that you just look back and say, ah, thank you, Jesus, that you got that person as far away from my family as you could. Thank you for moving them to a different floor in my building. I know they were my best friend last year, but God, I've seen the way their life has gone, and I thank you that you spoke to me in such a way that I could yield to your spirit, and when you said detour, meaning get away from them, you can't walk the same road they're walking, I listen to it because their crash didn't kill me or hurt me in the process. And so when the Holy Spirit says detour, you ought to get a big smile on your face and say, God, thanks for watching out for me. Now, which way do you want me to go? I'm not going to be a casualty of someone else's crash. Sometimes a detour is because the bridge is out ahead. And you're going to die if you don't take the detour. Let's see if death or delayed are my options. I'll take delayed every moment of every day. A lot of us are complaining, why the detour, God? And God's saying, because 2 miles down the road ends. And if you keep going, you're going to drop down a 100-foot ravine. And so a lot of times you just have to lean into the Holy Ghost and say, all right, God, you know my comings, my goings. You know the end from the beginning. And so if you take me the detour, I might be delayed, but at least I'm not going to die. Most of the time, a detour is because of construction on the road in front of you. So instead of sitting somewhere wasting time, there are detour signs that will take us around and will take us out of our way, but at least we're not sitting still. It might take me longer than I originally thought when I see a detour sign, but at least I'm not sitting still. I hate traffic. I know that they're going to amen. Brother Kevin, Sister Tanya drive from Austin, Texas 2-3 times a week, and they sit in some traffic. I hate traffic. There's no need for it most of the time. But I'll tell you what I really hate is when you're stopped. I can handle it as long as I'm moving. I would rather move at a snail's pace than to sit still. And I want to declare to somebody today, you might be delayed, but you're not denied. It's just a detour. And on the road, when you see the detour sign, what you have to realize is the first detour sign you see is not the last one you're going to see. Because the first detour sign, when it says to turn right, you're going to turn right. And what do you start looking for? The next detour sign. And it's funny how the first detour sign you hate, but then you start looking for them like your life depends on it. Come on now. When the Holy Ghost speaks to me sometimes for the first time, I hate it. Why are you stopping me? I had so much momentum. Yeah, Brandon, your momentum was going to derail you in 2 weeks if you kept going like you're going. I'm detouring you because I'm going to get you around that problem. So instead of that problem making you wreck and causing you to slow down for 2 years or messing your marriage up or messing your family up or messing your ministry up, I'm going to detour you. And I promise you that you don't like this sign at first, but the moment that you receive the first detour sign after that turn, you're going to start looking. All right, man. Where's the next detour sign? All right, Holy Ghost, where are you taking me next? I'm not looking at anything else. I'm looking for the next orange sign because now I'm depending on it for my direction. Church, if you could stand on your feet right now, and I want to declare to you one more time, you might be delayed. You might not be as far as you thought you'd be in September of 2019, but you're still on the road called faith. You might not be as far as you thought you'd be financially, but you're still on the road called faith. You thought you'd be married with a couple kids behind a picket fence, but I want to tell you, still got breath in your lungs. You might be delayed, but you are not denied. You are on a detour, and God is working for you. God is working in front of you. God is working in you. You've just got to read the road rules and signs of life. Detour. Man, I hate it. Slow me down so much. Why is this happening? Then I look back and I say, oh, that's why. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me. Talking to somebody today. You need the fresh oil in your life. You got hell breaking loose. Instead of praying the hell away, why don't you get a fresh dose of the anointing? A fresh dose of the oil that says, God, if this hell stays, I'm going to be so anointed, it's going to have to leave. Or I'm going to make it through. I'm going to bust my way through to my next. Or perhaps you're in this building and you say, Pastor Brandon, I was going so good. And then it seemed like that detour sign just popped up out of nowhere. I want to talk to somebody tonight that you're on the third, fourth, fifth sign of your detour. I want to tell you, keep following the signs. Keep listening to the Holy Ghost. Keep allowing God to reformulate, recalibrate. When I make a wrong turn, once I got my IMAPs on and that thing's talking to me, it will tell me, turn, do a U-turn in the next 300 feet. It's telling me, get back on course. Your detour doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that you're in the wrong. What it means is God is looking at your now and your next, and he's taking you the safest route possible to get you where he's called you to be. God bless those in this altar tonight. God bless those that have joined us in faith tonight. Delayed but not denied. Every time I sit at a railroad crossing, that train going by, I just say, I'm delayed but I'm not denied. Most of the time I put it on Instagram, delayed but not denied. And I used to hate it. God, it's going to make me late. And God just whispered, I'm keeping you from an accident. If you'll just sit here 3 minutes, you're not going to lose your life. You're not going to wreck your car. When I forget my phone at the house and have to turn around and go get it, I used to hate it. But God's saying, could it be that I blocked it out of your memory and I'm sending you back home? Why? Because you're going to get a speeding ticket out on I-10. There's a semi that was going to sideswipe you. I want to encourage you in this altar, delayed but not denied. Delayed but not denied. Fresh oil is about to be applied. Fresh oil is about to be given. I'm going to start right down here with my friend Luciano. We're going to pray. If you're in this house today and you're ready for fresh oil, I need you in this altar. Listen, if I wasn't holding the mic, I'd be down in the altar. I could always use fresh oil. God, give me a double dose of what I already have. Lord, give me more power, more of your spirit, more, Lord, hearing what you're saying. If that's you, join us. If you feel like you're delayed, that you haven't hit your mark when you thought you would, if you're in this place tonight and you feel like, man, I'm 5 years late, 5 months late, just doesn't seem like I'm happening, I want to encourage you, you're delayed, but you're not denied. Come down here, get some faith to say, God, the detour signs, I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to hit that destiny you've called me to. But before I pray, I want to ask anybody in the house tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven? Everything I've talked about on the road of life, the end of that road is eternity in a real place called heaven with Jesus. It's where I'll spend the rest of my earthly life and the rest of my time in heaven. I'm sure I'm going. Most of us are sure we're going. If you're not sure, join us in this altar. Say yes to Jesus. He's going to forgive you. He's going to wash you in his blood. If you're ready to be baptized, we're ready to baptize you in water tonight. We're ready to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been preaching it, but we need to have somebody receive it tonight. Road rules, road signs of life all come down to the Spirit of God. Church, if you'll help me pray, stretch your hands forward to your peers, your friends, your family, your brothers, your sisters. Let's pray.